Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show we are on each and every week. I was on a bit of a vacation last week. And again, thanks for tuning in. We give you information about mortgages, specifically about mortgages for purchase and refinances. I know there's all kinds of different ways to get financing. You can go to the private markets. You can go to the Fannie Freddie guys. You can go to the non-QM people. All of them are trying to design a program and a way for you to be able to get that mortgage so that you can buy that house that you've been dying to buy. So the market itself is really the only thing preventing you from getting a particular house in this particular market. Why do I say that? Because, you know, there just aren't enough houses out there. Anybody who's looking will know that. And so, you know, instead of turning off the radio, listen a bit longer. The reason is that some of these loans that you're looking for and looking at that are preventing you from getting that home and house you like, some of these loans, maybe you need to find a different lender or a different mortgage broker or a different kind of person to be able to see exactly who you are and what you are. There is a huge push in the market for automation. I was looking at, there's a number of articles out there. You can go to Housing Wire. You can go to Mortgage News Daily. You can go to CNBC. All of the news services carry parts about real estate and real estate financing and what they're talking about in order to make sure that this happens as quickly as possible within the process is automation, is technology, is the way by which loans are currently done with which to drive the cost of those loans down for the lender and speed up the transaction process for you. And it's been told to you that this is a positive. And why is it a positive? Because if you're in a competition with other people about that mortgage for that particular house, five or six people per house, those are the people who are looking to buy the same house you're willing to buy. If you can close more quickly, it said, it makes you more attractive to the seller. So this push for speed is really doing you a disservice if you are trying to get a loan in a market like this. Why do I say that? It's not always the lowest price. It's not always the best in terms of the terms and the financing rate for you to get the fastest loan, right? Now, I know you want to get the house, right? And you're dying to get it, and you're just... So why is this a problem? Well, right now we're seeing a decrease in the number of loan applications. We are seeing a decrease in the number of purchase transactions being done. Both of these are as a result of fatigue by buyers. They're tired of out there trying to get a loan in the marketplace that they can't get a loan quick enough, or they can't buy the house because there's nine other people looking for the same house. So people are backing off. This is going to improve the overall number of homes that are available in most marketplaces. And we're already seeing it. It's not a huge percentage, but it is happening. And as this continues to happen, getting you to understand the best loan for you may be a way by which you can take your time to get the best loan. Instead of finding the house first, putting in an offer, and then getting a 30-day close of escrow, go to a lender now. Interview a couple people in different spaces, i.e. the conventional loan, 30-year fixed rate. Anything beyond that is an unconventional loan, whether it's a 15, whether it's an ARM product, whether it's a non-QM bank statement type loans, a business bank statement loans, an ITIN number type loans. All of these loans take a little bit longer. But you can do things called TBD, to be determined, i.e. if you go to these lenders and say, look, I want to get approval for a loan, but I don't have a property. Can I do that? Well, a lot of lenders are letting you do that, letting you understand what's available in the marketplace so that by the time you get that home, you have that non-traditional loan in your back pocket and are ready to get out there and get the loan, subject to condition of the home and the appraisal value of the house. These are important things to know when inventory is ticking up, not down. And it's because of the fatigue in the market, as I said, from buyers who are just tired of not getting the home. So they're backing off. Now, mortgage applications being down. What is the number here? Hold on a second. It is, okay, the refis are decreasing 7 to 9%. The total decrease between refinance and purchase is 4% year over year. Now, a year ago, as you may know, we were in the beginning of the lockdown process, but mortgages were booming at that time. Throughout the summer, we did a lot of loans, and we did all of these loans based on the fact that COVID was happening. Well, right now, we're seeing, I don't know, what is it, 162 million people have at least one shot? And if you add in, on top of that, about 40 or 50 million people who've already had the virus, you got a lot of people who have immunity right now. So the demand on other than mortgages, other than living, other than buying a house, are in vacations, spending money. There's $1.5 trillion in savings that wasn't there a year ago because people, without spending money as they usually do, put it in the bank. Now, that's a big number. That and the stimulus package, the amount of money going out to people in the form of unemployment, $300 extra a week from the Fed, although there are several states out there, as everyone knows, this becomes a political football. I hate it all. But the fact is that some states are pulling back on that because they want their $7 an hour employees back at, whatever job that they're doing, flipping burgers or doing some other kind of job, so that small businesses, in fact, can have workers. There's a debate on whether it's prudent to be able to say, hey, you know what, let's raise the minimum wage level to $15 an hour at least $15 an hour, 40 hours a week is $30,000 a year. That is bottom line middle class. That is where middle class starts, and it ends up, about $120,000-$130,000. So that large group of people, which has been shrinking over the last 10 years, they want to expand it, and they want to, get unemployment in some sections of the country to be ended, thus preventing people from making that kind of money. Anyway, there's a big debate on it, and it becomes political, and it becomes, a lot of things. What we're looking for in the mortgage market and in the real estate market is solutions for you to be able to go out and get a home. Obviously, if you're making $30,000 a year and you have a spouse making $30,000 a year, $60,000 a year means that you can buy very few homes in America. So the debate of whether that's a good thing or a bad thing has nothing to do with the market. Most people who are out there in the marketplace right now are looking for a type of loan, like your business owner and your running a lot of money through your business, but you'd pay yourself a minimal amount because, you just don't have the tax write-offs for yourself personally that you do for your business. So what does that actually mean? It means that a business bank statement loan, that you can go out and get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage based on that, is really a conventional loan that you can't get. So you have to go to the non-QM market. The non-QM market is booming. All of this, what does it mean? It means that we're in for a summer by which we should have expanding inventories for homes, not by a lot, but by some, and that if you're in that group that needs more time for the loan, you need to get out there and get a TBD loan approved now, meaning that the property hasn't been chosen, but you can qualify. Your income can qualify. Your credit score can qualify. And I don't mean like a cursory loan approval, I mean a submission to a lender who will allow a TBD. Now, there's a bunch of them. There's a lot of non-QM people that can promise you a loan. So you need to get done that now so that you can get out there and buy a home when one becomes available when the inventories go up. That's what's happening right now in the real estate and mortgage markets. What we've seen, now let me just go over rates a little bit. 3.11 for the 30-year fix. That's not at the historical low mark, but it's close. 2.55 for the 15, 2.63 for the FHA, and 3.12 for the jumbo. Jumbo's down. So that means that if you've got a loan over $750,000, that's a good number. 3.12, that's about as good as it gets. And 2.25 for the 5-1 ARM. The 10-year, the yield is at 1.60. That's at the upper end of where we go for the range on these things, between a half a point and 1.6. Anyway, we're coming up against a clock here. It's It's great to be back on the air. Great to talk about mortgages and solutions that we have. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening each and every week. As I always say, we try to provide solutions. You've got problems out there galore. One of them is low inventory, not being able to get into that house. And as I preached earlier in the show, to be able to get to maybe a more difficult mortgage, you probably have to talk to a mortgage broker and get a TBD, a to be determined on your property address, especially if it's a non-conforming or non-QM loan. Some of the solutions that we offer are, experienced loan officers. And having an experienced loan officer is like my first guest here today, Bill Orr, is the way to go. Bill, how are you?
I'm great. Great, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I hesitated to give you that kind of introduction because that kind of corners you into talking about non-QM, which you do not have to do. However, right. I know that you've got so much experience that whatever programs that you're going to want to talk about today, especially the success you've had this year, only going to add to the value of what the customers are going to get out of it. So tell us, how's your business? What's going on? What's popular in the loan business?
Okay, great. Thanks. Well, yeah, I'm very fortunate. Yeah, I've been doing this for 25 years now, and I remember one time I saw an article about, don't deal with a loan officer who doesn't have at least 3 years worth of experience. And at the time, I only had like 6 months worth of experience. I was like, you don't need that. You can go to the young loan officer, of course. And I hit 3 years. I'm like, yeah, the article is really right on.
Exactly.
You learn something new every day.
Yep.
So let's talk about what that. So there's the term is now called non-QM. QM stands for qualified mortgage. And the three main players in the mortgage business for most people buying in the house below like $850,000 is going to be FHA, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac. There are small differences between Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but those two together we call it conventional. So you've got FHA financing and you've got conventional financing. Now, non-QM is a category of loans that will not fit into the box of FHA or conventional financing. Here's what I mean by that. What about a client who, for whatever reason, they can't not or don't want to provide the tax returns? This is very common for people who are self-employed or people who are on commission sales. Because let's be honest here, we all know the deal with self-employed people, not all of them, but a large percentage of them. Maybe if they run a cash business, well, if they make $100,000 a year, the first $50,000 of that just goes directly into their pocket, never gets reported to the IRS.
Right.
And then they do their income reporting on $50,000. They take away expenses. Now they got an income of $18,000 after expenses. We all know the guy makes $100,000. How do you help that guy buy a house based on the money he really makes?
Right.
So there would be a couple options where we can uses bank statements only. There are a couple, one bank I'm dealing with on the East Coast, they have a special charter which allows them to accept only the top half of the front page of your tax return, not showing any income, and then the top half of your people who are self-employed file Schedule C. They're Schedule C income. Here's what that means. Basically, it allows us a great deal of creativity to help report what the client really makes, by our example, $100,000, as opposed to what the IRS tax return says of $18,000. And that's a great help for people who are self-employed or due to any one of a number of reasons they don't want to or they can't disclose their income because that might disqualify them. So that's where non-QM mortgage program comes in very, very handy.
Now, as described, these are programs to assist people who, as you said, do not want to, or for whatever reason, it could be a lot of different reasons, or who have a business that they have a lot of money run through and that they have a lot of write-offs on their business, so they don't pay that kind of tax that they would if they paid themselves a salary of, like you say, $100,000. So all of this is legitimate income. It's not like there's some nefarious situation here. No, this is just the way that business is done when you include your taxes, your federal, your state, and how businesses are able to do things that individuals aren't. Now, I know there are some loan products out there that accept bank statements versus personal bank statements from the business.
So, yes. So people, many people who are self-employed may have their self-employed income go right into their personal income, into their personal bank account. And for those people, we can use 100% of the deposits. If they have a business account, and they deposit all their income from the business into the business account, we're able to use 50% of their deposits. So if a plumber, for example, if he has a business account, then we can use 50% of his deposits as income to help qualify him for the mortgage. And that bypasses having to go through your tax returns where you have all your disclosures, all your write-offs and things like that that are taking away from your income. Because people who work for somebody else and they receive a paycheck and W-2, they're like, what are you guys talking about?
Right.
But for people who are really self-employed or a commissioned salesperson or something like that, this can really help people get into a nice house that they can actually afford and that they deserve to buy based on their real income.
Now, I talked about getting to you early in the process, like before you get a contract that says 30 days. Especially for loans like this, what are you recommending to borrowers, people that want to buy a house, who should do that? What are you telling them?
Well, great question. Okay, there's actually three answers to that question. Number one, if you're considering buying for a home because of COVID, they're not going to let you in the house unless you have a pre-approval letter. Period.
Right.
For the health and safety concerns. Number two, no seller will take you seriously unless you are fully pre-approved. So pre-qualification letter, you've heard that term, pre-qualification letter, in 2021 will no longer cut it. It has to be a full pre-approval, and then so that the seller will take you seriously, yes, this person really can buy this $450,000 house or whatever it costs. And then lastly, for your own sanity, you don't want to go in and put yourself under a legally binding contract that you're agreeing to buy this house for $450,000, and you don't know if you qualify.
Right. All three of those answers are something that a borrower can do. Finding the right mortgage person, I've always said, you got to interview. You got to get out there. You just can't take your cousin or your cousin's recommendation because their family member had a good experience with somebody. No, you got to get out there. And when you get interviewed, or do you get interviewed? Is it just all word of mouth and that kind of referral for you, or do you actually?
Yes, usually most of the clients come referred to me by real estate agents or CPAs or financial planners, and I do get the way I handle that is right now the calls are coming so fast and furious right now. For me personally, I have a couple of emails that it's like a curriculum vitae in my email. I send out a list of my background, what I've done, what my basic work history is. And then the second email I sent out will encourage them to check out my professional credentials on the NMLS website. NMLS is the professional licensing, one of the professional licensing organizations for mortgage loan officers. And I invite them to either Google my information or you can go right to the website and check out my professional credentials. You people can usually tell after talking to me for a few minutes that I've got a good background in this.
Right.
And that sometimes that right then and there will give them the comfort level to know it's like, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. Let's have him help us out buy our home.
Okay, Bill, we got about a minute left. Give us your idea about where rates are heading. We did go up to about 3.5%. Now we're just hovering at 3. What do you think by the end of the year? And then, of course, let people know how to get in touch with you.
Yes. Well, I'm looking at a thing right now that rates moved slightly higher. There's a very macro version, like day-to-day, if you're in contract,
right,
you want to lock your rate. That's very important. Over the general, by the end of the year, we all have to look at it this way. The economy has been in this extremely low interest rate market for what seems like forever now.
Right.
And people think these rates are normal. They're not.
Right.
These 2 and 3% interest rates are not normal. 5 and 6 and maybe 7 is usually about right. So I believe that over the course of the next couple of years, we will start to see a trend upward. It's not an emergency. The sky's
right.
not falling. It's not going to go. But generally speaking, this can't last much, too much longer.
Right. Okay.
And
hey,
also,
shout out your phone number, Bill.
Yes. My name is Bill, and my last name is Orr, O-R-R. My phone number is 818-406-4744. Again, that's 818-406-4744.
Bill, great job. Thank you very much. Good explanation on programs and what things are and the differences between them. I really appreciate you coming on once again.
Appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. That's Bill Orr from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for watching each and every week. If you're on YouTube, Daryl, we have about 10 podcasts. Can you list them off if you got them there?
I sure can, Jeff. It's Apple Podcast, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and Podclips.io.
Okay, Podclips.io is one of the newer podcasts that we're on. And by the way, we have a new website, themortgagevoice.com, where we list a bunch of the radio stations that we're on. We have a broadcast as well as podcast. How's that for you? Is that good?
I like the way that rhymes. Yeah,
it's very good. Okay, so we bring to you information, solutions, things about the mortgage industry, about the real estate industry that you just can't get unless you're either a hound dog and you're all over the internet scouring for things, but cruising around on the weekend looking for things to do or finding at the hardware store a way by which you can fix up your house. Yeah, we're available to you online as well as on the radio. With us today, once again, is April Lopez from Nations Direct. She's great because not only has she been in the business a long time, I'm sorry about that, I didn't mean to reveal how old we both are, but anyway, really appreciate it. April, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you today?
You know, I'm great. Thank you very much for asking. A little tongue-tied, a little bit tired because, you know, we're into this long COVID situation, but the mortgage industry has been really busy. Explain to us about Nations, what you all are doing, and how maybe the industry is changing, and what kind of programs we might be able to look forward to this summer.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the volume for 2021 was like at an all-time high in March, and we did see it taper off just a bit. So despite the low rates, business seemed to taper off a little. However, Alt Prime has come back, which is the new acronym versus non-QM,
right,
which is a non-qualified mortgage. So the new product that you're going to start seeing is the Alt Prime product, which is expanding out to self-employed borrowers who have all of their income deposited in their bank statement. So we have bank statement loans for the self-employed, along with some debt service coverage ratio loans for those investors who would like to purchase some investment properties, and they don't need any income to qualify.
Okay, so you mentioned several products that haven't been available. I guess, you know, Nations has been around for a long time, good, strong company, and they're expanding out into this. Does this have to do with the new qualification requirements that are coming out, maybe expanding or doing away with some of the ratios that we've been so used to using through what they call the QM patch for years? Now that that's going away, is this one of the expansions because of that?
I wouldn't say it's because of that. We'd had this product about 2.5 years ago,
okay,
and when the market kind of tightened up, then the investors didn't want to take on these non-qualified mortgages due to the risk.
Right.
And so these really are also that jumbo product, right? So it's not only the alternative income requirements, but it's also the jumbo loan amounts up to $2.5 million.
Right. Well, that's a great product. Explain a little bit about what that jumbo entails and how someone would qualify for that.
So basically, we have an all-prime jumbo product, which actually does expand out the debt-to-income ratios for a borrower, where we will go up to 50 debt-to-income ratio with a borrower up to $2.5 million using bank statements. So we basically qualify them on 12 months of their most recent personal and or business bank statements, and then we expand out that criteria. We use a 50% expense ratio off those bank statements, and then we qualify them up to 50 back-end ratio.
Okay, so in this is a refi as well as a purchase or strictly purchase?
No, it's refi, purchase, and cash-out refi. So it actually is for all potential borrowers.
Okay, now explain a little bit to me about how your business breaks down, whether it's purchase. Now, the reason I'm asking is because I noticed that we're getting more into a more balanced market. The refi market is actually down a little bit, more than a little bit, and we're seeing purchases to refi ratio rising, which I like the purchase market just because I think that's a better reflection than the refi market as the strength of the mortgage market in general. What is your business, and how is that reflected in those particular things?
So definitely a purchase market. I think I've come up to about a 62% purchase market versus refi.
Wow.
And what has happened, yes, and what has happened is with the all-time low rates that we've had through COVID, these borrowers who have recently refied, whether they refied rate and term or cash out, have pretty much hit rock bottom on the rates.
Right.
And so we don't anticipate them refinancing in the near future, and especially with the interest rates, even though although low on the rise, we've pretty much capped out our refis to just borrowers who want to actually take cash out. So now it's really going to be a purchase market versus borrowers who are wanting to cash out to get some money for home improvement or buy that secondary home.
If a person has in forbearance, let's say, but they have equity in their house, what solutions can we offer them?
So Fannie, Freddie, and HUD say that you must come out of forbearance.
Right.
Or not that you must, but we want you out of forbearance, and you've had to have made at least 3 on-time monthly payments before we can refinance you.
Okay.
So they're very strict on that.
Well, yeah, I know. And there's so many people, and a couple of the big banks were talking this week about, you know, ending the forbearance program, i.e., you know, they're going to start foreclosing on people. So the idea that if you have equity in your home and you haven't been able to come out, there's really few options left, right?
Correct. But I did hear, and it hasn't come through yet, that Fannie was going to offer somewhat of a streamline for low-income, those quote-unquote borrowers who missed the refi bubble. I saw an article, and they're going to do them. For borrowers, you have to, it's a streamline, kind of like the old DU Refi Plus.
Right.
And they're Fannie-owned loans, and they're going to allow them to refi. You have to at least save them 0.5% on their current interest rate, and they're going to allow refis up to, like, 97 LTV, and it's going to be a streamlined process, no appraisal. So that was in the talks because they were saying about 300 million Fannie loans. They were looking to hopefully help these current borrowers and help them not go into foreclosure.
Well, the total numbers of foreclosures currently are about running at 2.1 million borrowers who are in forbearance of some particular type. Now, this Fannie Mae product, it sounds great, but you still have to come out and have been out for 3 months, or is this for anybody?
You know what? There wasn't any more detailed other than they were just looking to do a streamlined conventional loan. So I would say probably, you know, that hasn't been determined yet. But I do know that a lot of lenders are also doing modifications for borrowers, from what I've been hearing, to try to help them. And lastly, I heard that Biden was supposed to approve them, it's all Fannie loans to be converted to 40-year terms. So we have yet to see that, but I heard that was in the forefront.
Well, I mean, at the end of June, several of the top banks are going to start foreclosing. I mean, Wells Fargo said they were going to extend it till the end of the year on the moratorium, but Bank of America, no, Chase, no, and some of the other Wall Street firms just haven't even made any decisions. So I think this is coming down. I don't know what we can do about it. Let's switch a little bit. We got about a minute left. Where are we heading on rates? When do you think we will start to see, again, a gradual uptick in the rates? Or are we going to be pushed by the inflation worries or what?
I think we're going to be pushed by the inflation worries, but I think it's going to hold pretty steady. I mean, I think we're going to be, you know, doing well into the first quarter of 2022. So I think that, you know, the inventory still grows, so it's very difficult for buyers to get homes. So I think that, you know, going to weigh a little bit into the fact that, you know, buyers are, you know, changing speeds a little bit, but paying over market price because they're so worried and they wanted to get into a home.
Yep.
But I think we're going to just kind of taper off. I don't see any big significance outside of inflation is definitely going to add to the increase in rate.
I think so, too.
Come the end of the year or so.
Yeah, whether that increase is real or unreal, certainly the fears are going to drive the market as much as the reality.
Absolutely.
Could you shout out your phone number, April? This is April Lopez from Nations Direct. That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Area code 818-398-1272.
Thank you, April Lopez, and I appreciate you once again coming on and giving us some great information. Thanks, April.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day.
Thank you. That's April Lopez again from Nations Direct. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show to listen to us each and every week. We bring you information about what's going on in the mortgage market, the real estate market, how we can best guide you, help you, answer some questions about what's going on and where you're going to get this loan and how you're going to get the loan and what kind of product is it and how much it's going to cost. All these things you just can't do, you know, willy-nilly, and you just can't fake it. You got to find out from professionals who know what the heck they're doing. We try to bring those to you each and every week, whether it's somebody from a lender or a particular loan officer of our own, or any number of other professionals who do make up what we do, whether it's escrow or title or, you know, inspectors or credit people. All of these things that they are experts in really aid you in your education for your own comfort, so you go into those transactions, you go into those negotiations with confidence that you have great people behind you and you know what the heck you're talking about. Very, very important. And to that end, we bring back to the show Charles Giscombe. He's a manager for Malibu Funding in the Nevada market, but also works all over the country. Talk to us somewhat about what's going on in the business. Charles, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you very much for being on. Okay. Let's talk about what's happening. A couple things in the mortgage industry. We've seen rates kind of bounce up and down a little bit. We have talk of inflation fears making rates go up again. Where are we with rates? And then we can talk somewhat about programs.
Well, it's interesting because it's exactly what it's doing. It's bouncing up and down. Rates were going up maybe a month ago.
Yep.
I just did some traditional loans. Rates are down. Was super surprised on what a 30-year fix looked like on a traditional loan. And obviously, when that market goes down, all rates go down. So even in the non-QM world, the rates were down too, which was very surprising. Obviously, there's fears of inflation, and there always is because there's always change coming, and we're always waiting for that next thing. I always parallel it like, you know, waiting to jump in on a double dutch. You're waiting to go. Is it going to happen? But you just have to, the market is still so good that even if the rates are increasing a little bit, it's still a great market to get into. It won't go up so much that you'll be bitten. But I do feel like if people are ready to refinance after looking at the rates in the last couple of days, it's a good time to do that as well.
Okay, the purchase market, which is the dominant force in a lot of places now because refis, people have either refied out at the low rates or, you know, they're doing cash refis, but Nationally, refis are down about 7 to 9% from a year ago. Purchases are down a little bit, but overall 4% down in terms of year over year on the mortgage market, mortgage originations. In the purchase market itself, how are you recommending to clients to be able to get a leg up on the competition, whether it's, you know, a TBD, pre-approval, or whether it's, you know, what are you asking them, I guess is what I'm asking.
Jeff, can we stop really quick?
Yeah.
I lost you for about 15, 20 seconds there. I lost
Sure. Mortgage market.
In the beginning of the question at all.
No problem. In the purchase market, what are we doing to help the clients get what they want in such a tight real estate market? Are you there? Well, Charles is probably going to rejoin us in a second. The issue with what's going on in the purchase market and how we get has been a topic on the show now and in many, many different times and places. What we're trying to do is to make sure that you have the best possible solution for your needs. Obviously, you want to buy the house. You want to get this house that you're in. So if you come in with not only a pre-approval letter, but everything determined, your rate, your particular credit score is already nailed down. You stop buying things to ruin your credit. You stop, doing things to hurt yourself. You're presenting yourself as the best possible borrower to that particular seller. That's where we're trying to get you with all the questions on today's show. Charles joins us again. Charles, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Sorry about that.
No problem. So in the purchase market, what I was just explaining and asking you previously is that what are we doing to give our clients a leg up when they come to negotiations?
Well, it depends on the type of loan. First and foremost, with any type of loan, what I've been doing is just making sure that I put them in a situation where it's the first and best offer. A lot of times it's going to be in a bid situation because it's going to be very competitive. And sometimes you may have to offer more. So what I do is I prepare them and I tell them, I know that you want to put the least amount of money down. If you want your offer to be competitive, I suggest that they put more money down. It's better for them in the long run if they have the resources and the capital to do so. It makes your offer look better and strong. In the non-QM world, when I'm telling our clients to get pre-approved and they send all their documentation in, I'm getting them their pre-qualification letters right away by pre-qualifying them right away. But I'm also telling them, you make a strong offer, and if you can do it in a short period of time, it can be competitive and comparable to cash sometimes. And sometimes that's enough to get them in front of another offer. With a lot of non-QM investment deals, Jeff, you have to put 25% down.
Right.
Going into a deal, that looks better than most offers all the time. Because it looks like you're putting a lot of skin in the game, looks like you're serious about it, and the investors and the individuals know that a person is more or less likely to walk away from that kind of situation. So that means they're serious about it and make an offer. I always offer that suggestion if you're trying to win. Now, if someone's trying to buy their primary residence, Jeff, I just make sure that all our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. I make sure all financial documentation is in. And sometimes what I do to strengthen it is I will try to get them a DU approval as opposed to just a pre-approval.
Right.
And that lets the sellers know and the seller's agents know that we are serious and we have a client that is good as money already. We just have to go through the formalities.
Right.
Once you do that, you give them strength, you give them the ability to win a bid, and you let the sellers know this is a serious buyer who I don't have to worry about are they going to be able to close or not.
In your world, in where you do loans, and you're doing loans all over the U.S., right, where do you see that there's a commonality in the type of loans that are being accepted in purchase? Is it that the credit score is good, or like you said, that the down payment is big, or is it a combination of all those kind of things?
Both those situations depend on different places. Like, it's very competitive in Texas.
Yep.
It's competitive in Florida right now, Jeff. It's competitive. No, Nevada is very, very competitive. Right.
Right?
And so
right.
Los Angeles is always its own animal.
Right.
I always say, depending on obviously the higher the credit score, already a strong profile. But I see high credit scores and larger down payment.
So that's a word to the wise, right? I mean, if you're looking to try to be as competitive as possible, obviously to win the bid, If you've got a great credit score, the only other, you know, variable factor is how much money you're putting down.
It's how much money you're putting down. And a lot of questions that the agents are asking now, because usually what happens is upon accepting an offer, they want to talk to the loan originator. They
right.
want to talk to the loan originator or the company that's going to do the loan. I get those phone calls, and they want to interview me and say, how do you feel about this client? And I tell them, the client's strong, the credit's strong, and they're putting that down payment down. They're serious about it. And my last thing is that it, depending on what type of loan we do, I always say, you know, we're going to be competitive in time against anybody to get a deal done, because non-QMs cut the red tape and they allow us to get to the finish line a lot faster. Although I will say this, I don't honk my horn too much, but we do have a record at Quicken. We have a loan from beginning to end in 12 days, and that's a traditional loan, and that's very fast too.
So oh, yeah.
It all depends on, you know, who the loan officer is, how much information you're gathering up front, how strong that borrower is from a credit standpoint, and how strong they are as far as down payment and income standpoint. If you can get those things together 9 out of 10 times, or, you know, 7 out of 10 times, Jeff, you can win a bid. And it also, your loan officer, you know, has to be dedicated as the clients are as far as getting the house is concerned.
Excellent. Hey, Chuck, we're up against the clock here. You want to tell people how they can get in touch with you out there in Vegas? That'd be great.
I sure will.
Great.
You can reach me at 702-328-5191. Again, 702-328-5191. Or you can email me at charles@malibufunding.biz. Again, that's charles@malibufunding.boyisaaczemer.
Chuck, thanks very much for coming on the show once again. Always at short notice, but always with the best information. I really appreciate it.
Jeff, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Love Malibu Funding.
Thank you very much. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for staying tuned to what we have on the show today. I'm Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. You know, you can hear us on a bunch of different radio stations. We're on 5 radio stations in 3 different states, anywhere from Tahoe in California, all the way down to Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as the Southern California Inland Empire, San Bernardino, and Riverside counties. We're very happy and grateful that those stations put us on the air to be able to provide you with the information you're going to need about purchases, about refinances, rates, programs, all this kind of stuff. The guests we bring on the show do the exact same thing, and I want to thank April and Charles and Bill for coming on the show and talking about that today. Couple things that we had last week were we had some testimony in front of Congress from all of the big banks talking about what they're doing to either solve the foreclosure issues that are coming up as a result of the moratorium on evictions ending. It's ending for most lenders at the end of June, right? So we're coming up into June, and you know, some borrowers out there who haven't been able to exit the forbearance program, or who are late on their mortgages, and both of those numbers added up to about 4 million, let's say 4 million homeowners who are in trouble. So I just wanted to go through, if you have loans, and again, the loan you have may not be with the lender that you did the loan with. Like, a lot of mortgage brokers and a lot of mortgage lenders sell their loans, and they sell them to big banks who end up selling them to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. If you have a loan with these big banks and you originated with them, they have ways by which they can help you if you're in trouble. Forbearance programs ending, as I said, at the end of June. So what are these companies doing? Right. So Wells Fargo. Let's just talk about Wells Fargo. They used to be the largest lender in the country for mortgages. They're not anymore, but they're still huge, right? I'm going to read from an article that I got from HousingWire. HousingWire is one of the places that we go for the information for the show. Let's see. Wells Fargo plans to extend foreclosure protections beyond the current federal moratorium. For loans that we do, we have extended our moratoriums for foreclosures and evictions until the end of the year, a guy named Charles Schraff said. He's the CEO. Okay, that's good news if you're in that position. Now, I think, the jobs are out there. The question of whether you want a job for less than, you know, $15 an hour, and even that's not going to help you pay a mortgage. So if you're in a mortgage right now that you can't pay, what do you need to make in order to make that mortgage happen, pay that mortgage? Because you're going to get foreclosed on at a certain time. Wells Fargo says they're not going to do it at the end of June. They're going to wait until the end of the year. Well, that's good news for you if you have a Wells Fargo mortgage, or if Wells Fargo purchased the mortgage from your mortgage company and they're currently servicing the loan. What does Bank of America say? Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan said in a hearing that the bank's suspension of all foreclosures would run through the end of the quarter. Okay, so when is the end of the second quarter? June 30th. So if you're owning a Bank of America loan, you got to start worrying right now if you are in forbearance or if you are 90 days late on your loan payments. And there are some, as I said, 2 million people who are like that. Bank of America has a different, you know, way to look at it than Wells Fargo. I'm not sure what the issue is, nor how the forbearance process affects the bottom line, I guess the bottom line, but also the liquidity requirements from those banks and what the liabilities are. Big and complicated. But if you're just a homeowner and you have a Bank of America loan and you want to know what the heck to do, you've really got to make a move on right now. I would contact a bank. I would seek to either reduce or look to even selling your home. There's plenty of equity in all of these homes that are currently in forbearance or 90 days late. You do not want to lose that equity. So you need to really come up with a plan right now and not wait. That's my advice to you. What does Chase say? J.P. Morgan Chase. Guy named Jamie Dimon, and everybody knows him. He was, if you saw some of the movies from the 2008, whether it's Too Big to Fail, or there was a couple of them. Anyway, he is the same CEO today that was around at that time. And he's very influential, and he's a very good CEO. Obviously, Chase has kept him around for a long time. So what is Jamie Dimon? And by the way, this is all you can go to either C-SPAN or go to some archive on the web and see all of these people by yourself to see exactly what they said. And as the commentator said, the CEOs of all these major banks are trying to say just enough so you never remember a thing of what they just said. And that is true with this guy, too. But what he did say was 90% of Chase customers had already exited the forbearance programs, but they would not disclose when they would begin foreclosing on those that remained. I believe there's a great incentive for all of these CEOs and banks to help who's ever left, right? So 90%, and if you've got a million, that means you still got 100,000 that are, you know, in forbearance. And that, you know, obviously that's problematic. I've been through some of these on a much, much smaller scale, and it's not only is it draining on the resources of the company, but it's also, you know, mentally a big strain if you've got people that owe money that can't pay. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to throw them out? You're supposed to eat it? I mean, it's not an easy situation, especially in a public corporation where you've got shareholders demanding that you do something because the value of the stock that they hold is going down as a result of, you know, these either write-offs or depressed balance sheets. Yes, it is complex. There's nothing easy about it, and I have no news for anybody with a Chase loan because they're not telling us what exactly to do in terms of that. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, both of these companies are saying the exact same. So as a result of the big banks, let's say you have with Ocwen or you're with, any number of other servicers. Now, the difference between a servicer and a bank and an originator, there are three different entities. It could be the same entity, but quite normally there are three different levels how your loan is handled and who you have to contact if you're in a position whereby you're going to be foreclosed upon in either June or at the end of the year. Who do you contact? What do you do? Usually look at your mortgage statement. That's the bill that comes every month. Even if you pay automatically, you get a mortgage statement on a monthly basis that'll tell you exactly where you are, how much you owe, and who to contact if you have a problem. On that mortgage statement, I would make those calls. I would then seek out help either through a mortgage professional, or if you have an attorney, or if you have a trusted advisor that you can go to figure out what is the best course of action. As I said, there's plenty of equity in a lot of these houses, most of them. We've seen last year in some cities 17% increase in the equity from the previous year. The average in the U.S. was 11%. So being underwater is not a consideration, and the market is hungry for houses, so you can save your equity. Now, if you need, obviously, to save your house, that's a different conversation and one that you have to start making. So you need to get a professional, somebody on your side who really understands the market. If you hear someone say, hey, stop paying your mortgage, do not do that. Continue to pay if you can. If you can't pay and you're in forbearance, make sure you have a plan to exit forbearance before the, you know, the end or the moratorium ends, because then you're at the mercy of the lender. You need to have these discussions and start having these discussions today. Again, 4 million people, either 90 days late, which means that you're in trouble, or in forbearance, about 2.1 million. You can always call us, by the way. We're always here for you. I'm Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice. You can go to our new website, by the way. It's terrific. It'll explain not only this segment, but other segments very easily for you to follow. And you can also call us on our 800 number at Malibu Funding, the company that sponsors this particular show. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.